the phone with Matt. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? I'm actually not doing very well right now. This last episode you may or may not have listened to. It came out on the 1st of November. I had recorded it the day before Halloween. And today is actually the day after Halloween. So I'm going to tell you a little story about my experience on Halloween at the ER. I had to start wearing a BiPAP machine like a year ago, I think. It was over a year ago now, going on 2 years. And a BiPAP, if you're not familiar, is a CPAP, but it, I guess a CPAP just blows air at you to make sure you keep breathing while you sleep. If you're, I guess, a little worse off than that, you need a BiPAP machine, which doesn't just blow air at you, but it also pulls air when you breathe out. So it kind of breathes, like, with you. That's what I was given because I was apparently not breathing, like, 160 sometimes an hour or a minute or some shit. Something kind of ridiculous. And I was told that the machine goes up to, like, a 25. Like, that's the highest it'll go, and mine's at a 24. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. The mask, the whole headgear, you know, there's this really nice, soft, like, strap that holds the mask on. It goes all around your head. And I noticed when I first started wearing it, the back strap that went around the back bottom of my head, basically right around the bottom of the skull area, it would make the two, I don't want to say corners, but the two bottom corners of my head hurt. When it would do that, the pain would eventually go away that night before I would go back to bed. Like, it would slowly go away. So I started using a sock. I would fold a sock in half and put it between the strap and my head, and it immediately stopped the pain. So I have been doing that ever since. Today, the 1st of November, it's now 4 days. 4 days ago, I woke up and I had the same kind of pain on the bottom right side of my head, right where the skull starts. Except this time it isn't going away. It's only getting worse. And the strap isn't even touching that part of my head. I have made sure since it started hurting again those nights that I slept, I would make sure that the strap wasn't on that part of my head. So it still hurts really bad. And the pain is actually moving up into my head more and down into my neck. Yesterday, I went to the ER. I decided that was enough. And let me just preface this with this. I hate hospitals. I hate doctors. And I hate the American medical health system. It's all a bunch of bullshit. None of it makes sense to me. Like, how is it all these companies continue to make pain medication and doctors refuse to prescribe it or give it? Why is that? I understand junkies, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a junkie. As a matter of fact, opioids don't do shit for me. So I don't ever want those. It's a waste. And I don't like wasting shit. I mean, I'm wasting your time right now by having a podcast, but I don't like wasting things like food, you know, anything, medicine. I don't like wasting it. If it isn't going to help me, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to use it because somebody else could be using it. I know there's plenty to go around, but that's just how I was raised. You know, don't waste your food. Don't waste anything. With that said, it makes me kind of sick when doctors immediately don't, it's not even like part of their process now. So what happened at the ER, I showed up yesterday and I told them my head was hurting. They took me right back. This was, by the way, at McCullough Hyde Hospital in Oxford, Ohio. I only bring that up to, I guess, put them on blast. Is that what the kids say nowadays? They took me right back and right into a room right inside the door. That's never happened to me. Usually we walk for a couple of miles through the halls and then I find a room that has been long forgotten. This was the very first room. The nurse who took me back, she starts asking me the basic questions about my history and asking me what meds I'm on. And she's like not understanding when I say I'm not on any meds right now other than this, this, and this. She didn't understand that. She kept asking questions. Well, what about this? What about this? Like, I'm not lying to you. I am not taking those. I told you what I'm taking. That's it. Before, and also, let me throw this in there. I was in so much pain yesterday. My fibromyalgia pains were through the roof. My left wrist was hurting really bad. I had a brace on it, and that wasn't helping at all. And because of my shoulder injury about a month ago, my shoulder was hurting and my whole right arm was hurting. And it was my right shoulder, by the way, that I had the rotator cuff tendonitis. So that was all hurting. And then the pain on my head was, it was just too much. All of it was too much. And I was actually, I was in tears. I had tears. Wasn't really crying, you know, but the tears were there. I almost never do that because of pain. I've been dealing with pain my whole life. I'm kind of used to it now, but just if it's too much, that's a problem for me. I can put up with a lot of pain, unfortunately. For instance, last October, last year, when I broke my ankle and sprained it at the same time, and the sprain was worse than the break, I didn't cry then. That was like the worst pain I've ever felt ever at one time. And I didn't cry then. I screamed a lot. I almost passed out from screaming, but I didn't cry. So I'm sitting in this bed, this hospital bed, with tears in my eyes, telling her the pain is terrible. Not once did she ask if I wanted anything for the pain. Nothing. She didn't ask. Not an aspirin, not a Tylenol, not a baby aspirin. Not a lidocaine patch, fucking nothing. She didn't ask if I needed anything for the pain. And that bothers me. Why the fuck am I at a hospital? I can't even voice the fucking problem with that because I just can't wrap my mind around the fucking logic. I'm in a place of health and wellness. And, okay, let's say the pain meds fuck me up. I'm right where I need to be, right? Why was I not offered anything for pain? Never mind that I wouldn't have taken it because literally nothing helps. But not to ask, like, that's fucked up. What if something actually did help me and you're not going to offer it? Just let me suffer? Why did I bother going to the hospital then? This reminds me of a time many years ago when I went to another, it wasn't a hospital, it was a doctor's office, but it was in my network at the time. I actually had health insurance. This fucking Doogie Howser girl doctor comes in. She looked like she was 20. And it was, I believe it was my sciatica when it first started acting up. And I could barely walk. I couldn't sit in a good position. Nothing helped. Her first words to me were, well, I don't prescribe pain meds, so, okay, great for fucking you. You're not the one in pain. But I kind of get it, because that neighborhood was a pile of shit, and yeah. So I've kind of learned that if I bring up that I have fibromyalgia, It's like an alarm goes off. Oh, he's a junkie. He's just here for pain meds. That actually happened to me when I had a doctor in Brookville, Indiana at Margaret Mary Health. Margaret Mary Health is one of the worst medical institutions on the planet. And okay, so this whole episode, I should also point out, is why I hate doctors. These are all the issues I've faced over the years. On my first visit with this doctor, his nurse was asking me like about my history and everything so she could fill out my history on her computer. She was an older woman, and when I told her in my early 30s, I had a drinking problem, and I drank so much that my liver was shot by the age of 32, so I quit drinking, and my liver got better, and I'm fine. So she took it upon herself to put in my charts that I am an alcoholic, which is not what I said. I then later found out that what she does is she takes what you say and then she flips it to what makes sense to her. Because when I brought up to my doctor later, that like a year later, that I had fibromyalgia and I was in pain all the time, she put in my charts that I was an opioid abuser. And I didn't catch that when she did it, or I would have said something then. I only found out later when I looked at my chart or my paperwork that they printed out for me for my visit, and it had it on there. And of course, I raised hell. Because when I told him I had fibromyalgia, I also told him that I didn't want any opioids because they don't work for me. And I wanted to know if there was something else I could do to ease the pains of fibromyalgia. So she heard all of that, but still put in there, I'm an opioid abuser, even though I said I don't take them because they don't work for me. This is why I don't trust doctors or nurses or the medical field in general. I don't trust them. Okay, let me get off of that. So back to this visit to the ER. She didn't want to give me anything for pain because, well, obviously she didn't even ask if I wanted anything. But before she was done, the fucking doctor swooped in and he was talking obnoxiously loud. Mind you, my fucking head is throbbing. So he comes in talking full blast, interrupted the nurse. She finally just turned around and walked out. She wasn't even done. He walked up to me, started poking his finger around on my head, poked that spot, and when I flinched and kind of yelled, he said, "Is that where it hurts?" I said, "Yeah." So he continued to poke it with his finger, like jabbing his finger into that spot. All the while, mind you, his head is like right above mine, and he's still talking to me in this obnoxiously loud tone. He wasn't saying anything rude. He was just loud. My fucking head is throbbing. He didn't ask if I wanted anything for pain. Clearly, he wanted me to be in more pain. And I'm not sure what he looked at it with. Maybe it was a magnifying glass. I don't know. But he looked at it and he said, "Well, it doesn't look like there's an infection. I don't feel anything wrong. It's an ingrown hair. I'll prescribe you some antibiotics." After saying it didn't look like an infection, he prescribed antibiotics. And then left. No tests, no nothing. He did say, "I don't think we need to do a CT scan," and he left. I saw him for all of maybe a minute, and I didn't even see him. If he came back in the room and didn't say anything, and I looked at him, I wouldn't have known if it was him or not. I had no idea. I still don't know what he fucking looks like. And that was it. They were done. That was the single fastest time I've ever been in a fucking hospital, ever. In and out. It took me 10 to 15 minutes to drive there. It took them all of like 4 minutes total in the room. And I just laid there in the bed and held every part of me that hurt, and I cried. And then the girl comes in with the fucking machine to like you know, get my payment information, my insurance information, which I don't have, because once again, it's like expensive as fuck. I'm disabled and can't get disability. So I have no insurance for this great fucking country we have here and our great fucking healthcare system. So essentially they did nothing for me, and I'm sure I'm going to be billed for wasting their time. I'm going to be billed several hundred dollars that I don't have. The girl that came in to get my info, she kind of asked what was wrong, and I was like, nothing happened. I don't know. No tests were done. It was kind of bullshit. Like, I'm in pain. I'm fucking crying here, and nothing was done. I could have brain cancer, and I don't know. And that's literally what's still on my mind. Do I have brain cancer? 20 years ago, I lost my best friend to brain cancer, and that's how it started. He started not feeling good and his head hurt. And when he got checked, they said he had potentially had it for 14 years. Something like that. The first time it was found out, he was like 15, 16. So he probably had this tumor in his head for his entire fucking life. If he had gone with that, you know, not feeling good and his head hurting to that doctor I saw yesterday, he would have been dismissed with no tests, no nothing. So the girl leaves, and I'm assuming she talked to the doctor and the nurse who were seeing me, and the doctor swooped back in, and again, he's talking loud as fuck, and I'm using my hand to motion like, can you bring it down a little bit? But he didn't, and he was talking so fast, I'm guessing he's on coke to get through all of his long doctor shifts. I don't know. He was so energetic in his talking, I couldn't get any words out. And he kept, you know, well, I've been a doctor for 20 plus years and, you know, I still don't know everything. And if you want a CT scan, we can do a CT scan. It's really quick. And I was like, no, I just want to leave. Just give me my shit so I can leave. And I just kept saying that over and over and over. And he kept talking over me and it was pissing me off even more. And finally he got it and he left. And then I waited for my discharge papers. I waited, 15, 20 minutes? I was in the bed crying and holding myself and shit. It should not take longer to get discharged than it did to be seen, ever. And I just wanted to leave. That's all I want. I wanted to come home. If I'm going to die, I want to do it at home, you know? So finally, the nurse, the original nurse, comes back in. And she has my discharge packet, and she's trying to talk to me and be like sweet and everything. And I wouldn't even look at her. I was like, you had your chance. Get the fuck out. Go take care of somebody who is worthy of your treatment. You know, like, don't patronize me. And before she left, I mean, I was grabbing I said, is this everything I need? And she said, yes. So I grabbed my shit and I stood up and I started to walk out, and she was like, well, if you need to come back, please come back and we'll take care of you. And I thought, you had your chance. I'm literally here now with this problem and none of you gave a fuck. Why would I come back to that? And I think the big problem that I was having, more so than the pain, was that I'm not being taken seriously. And I already know. As soon as I said I have fibromyalgia, and of course it's on my record, it's on my history. So as soon as I said that, I felt the alarms go off, you know? Oh shit, he's a junkie. Let's not treat him at all. All lives matter. And now I'm to the point now where I'm not going back anywhere. I'm not going to another hospital. I'm not going to a doctor. I'm not going to have a family doctor ever again because they don't give a fuck. Want some more stories? Here's some more stories on the other side of this break. See you in a minute. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out through the ad. I appreciate that. Now, here's some more stories of shit that keeps me wanting to stay away from medical professionals and medical professional buildings. When I was younger, my mom found me a family doctor who was like 90. I can't remember why we went. I was a teen. he wanted to point out how fat I was, but he didn't talk to me. He talked to my mom, though I was sitting right there. And he said, well, maybe he'll lose weight once he gets interested in girls, you know, as if, I think by that point I'd already lost my virginity. So that's why from a young age, I it's like, he's probably dead now. So that's cool. One time when I was working in a butcher shop, I got my first job at a butcher shop. It was really kind of right around when I first started there. And I had just finished my shift, and I was slicing some deli stuff to take home. And I was literally on the last slice of the turkey breast that I was slicing. It was the last thing I was getting. I was done. It was the last slice. And my hand slipped, and my finger, the tip of my finger, got cut off with the slicer. I was bleeding profusely. Even then, I didn't cry, you know, because, you know, whatever. I wrapped my hand up in a big towel. It was my right hand, and I had to drive to the hospital that was closest to me, which was, I think it was a Mercy, maybe? It's in Fairfield, in the general Cincinnati, Ohio area. It's like Mercy North, I think. And I had a stick shift. I had to shift with that hand that was wrapped up in a towel. And by the time I got to the hospital, which was really about 10 minutes away, the towel was like covered in blood. It was soaked. I walked in and checked myself into the ER, and they told me to have a seat. I was sitting there with my arm elevated, and it was going, you know, it was like getting tired, but I was keeping it elevated. The blood was running down my arm because the towel was already soaked. It was at capacity. You know, other people in the ER waiting room were getting sick looking at it. But I sat there for, what, 2 hours? Yeah, 2 hours I sat there. At one point, I got up and went to the counter again. The nurse that was sitting behind the desk, I asked her, I said, how much longer is this going to be? And she literally said, I don't know, I'm off the clock. You'll have to ask somebody else. And she didn't get up. She didn't try to find somebody else for me. That's what she said to me. So I sat down again and sat there and waited, and it was like 2 hours before I was finally seen. And that's why I won't go back there. Somebody told me later, well, you should have told them you were having trouble breathing. They'll take you back right away for that. That's great, but, you know, when you're bleeding to death, that's not a reason for alarm? Well, I'm off the clock. You'll have to ask somebody else. The odds of that chick ever listening to this episode or this podcast at all are, like, slim to none, but I still want to tell her, I hope you the worst in life. This is why I don't trust medical facilities. Here's another story. This is Margaret Mary. Back to them. Yeah. Making the list twice. When I broke my ankle, like I said before, that was the worst pain I've ever been in. I went to the hospital. They asked me what my level of pain was. And I told them. And that's where that ended. Once again, they did not ask me if I wanted anything for the pain. Nothing. They asked me, and I said, it's 10. It's probably 11. Nah, nothing for the pain. Didn't even offer. Nothing. Why are you going to ask somebody what their fucking pain level is if you don't give a shit? If you're not going to offer them anything for it, why ask? Insult to injury, you know? Oh, are you in pain? How much pain are you in? Yeah, is it really bad? Ha ha ha, good, bye. I can only imagine them asking that and then walking around the corner and rubbing one out at the thought of somebody being in pain. Like, is that their only reason for asking? So then I had to go to the foot doctor, you know, because it was a general foot area injury. They asked me there. Are you in pain? Well, fuck yeah, I'm in pain. I can't walk. My ankle is destroyed, and nothing. Again, nothing. And that time I said something. Why are you not giving me anything for pain? Oh, well, do you want something? No, fuck you. This is how shitty Margaret Mary is. And Margaret Mary is, from what I understand, is located in Indiana only, maybe, around the Brookville area and some other part of Indiana. I don't know. But this is how shitty they are. When I went to the Margaret Mary Health Family Doctor Center in Brookville, Indiana, my first doctor is the one who had the nurse who said I was an alcoholic and an opioid abuser and all that shit. I didn't see her regularly. I guess she only filled in when his regular nurse was not available. But I quit seeing him because, for one, he didn't believe in fibromyalgia. He said it was a garbage term that they threw onto issues that they couldn't figure out what the real issue was. So he tested me for rheumatoid arthritis and a couple of other things, and they all came back negative. But he still didn't want to say it was fibromyalgia. To his benefit, though, and I mean this, he was a good guy. I always enjoyed seeing him, and he did try to make the pain stop. He prescribed me two different things at two different times, and they worked. Gabapentin was one of them. And they worked for a short while, and then they stopped. That's why I went from gabapentin to something else. I can't remember now. And then that didn't work, and I went to something else, and that didn't work. You know, after like a couple of months, it worked and then didn't. And that's why I don't take anything now, because nothing seems to help. And not only that, nobody seems to give a shit that I have this pain. But there were like six instances with this doctor where he, like, you know, fibromyalgia is a garbage term, shit like that, that he said that really fucking bothered me. Another time was right after I first started seeing him. As a matter of fact, it was that visit where that nurse said I was an alcoholic when I never said alcoholic. He walked in, and this was right after the pandemic started. He walked into the room and said, "Oh, you don't have to wear your mask in here." And he took his mask off. And the nurse didn't have one on at all. From there on out, every time he came into the room, like every time I had an appointment with him, he had his mask tied around his head on the top, but like the bottom straps he left dangling. So the mask was just kind of hanging off of his nose, you know? So I was very concerned about COVID because, you know, I'm a fat guy with diabetes and asthma. And I had just saw on the news where they said, you know, if you're overweight and have asthma and diabetes, you're like really at risk for fucking dying from COVID. So I asked him, should I self-quarantine through this? And he said, no. Go out, be around people. It's almost summer. Enjoy the weather. The heat will kill the virus. I didn't listen to him. I didn't go out because fuck that. You know? But basically, because he said that, I could not, I couldn't apply for COVID relief because I couldn't work because my doctor didn't say to self-quarantine. You know, they would ask that question. Are you not working because of COVID? Yes, I am not working because of COVID. Did your doctor ask you to self-quarantine? No, he didn't tell me that at all. So it didn't matter. Well, if he didn't say you had to self-quarantine, then go find a job in a market where there are no places open for business. That was another issue of mine with him. And then I was on metformin because of the diabetes. I was on 1,000 milligrams twice a day. One of my visits with him, he said something about 500 milligrams, and I said, no, it's 1,000. I know it is. He looked at his notes, which, by the way, his notes were on a notepad or a random piece of paper, and there was random shit written all over. It looked like graffiti. Remember when you were sitting in class you really hated in high school, and you just doodled all over your fucking notebook, and none of it made any sense, that it wasn't in any kind of a, you know, pattern, or there was no organization to it at all? That was his notepad. His official doctor notepad. He looked at it and he said, well, it says here that you're on 500 milligrams. So what did he send to the pharmacy to refill? 500 milligrams. And when I got home, I looked at all of the bottles I had, which I think I had two or three at that point. They were all 1,000, and they were all prescribed by him. This is why I don't trust doctors. So I finally got rid of him as a doctor. I got sick of that shit. And I got a second doctor there. And this bitch acted like she did not want to deal with me at all every time I saw her, which was twice. The second time I saw her, I went in with a couple of things going on. But the first one was these first two medications that my last doctor prescribed me for the fibro pain didn't work. I need something else. She sighed, rolled her eyes, and said, well, we could try this, and prescribed me something else. I looked over at her nurse, who was typing away at her computer, and then I heard a door shut. I looked back around, and she was gone. She left. I wasn't even, like, I had just sat down and started talking to her about stuff. I hadn't even got out why I was there. I needed something for the fibro pains, but here's why I'm here. No, I didn't get that chance. She had more important shit to do. So that was the last time I saw her. The last doctor I could see there, he was great. I started seeing him. He was younger. He wanted to help with everything, but he told me his boundaries first because he had mental health issues. He told me he studied mental health issues and was like a pro at them. And he said things to me that made sense, like the current cocktail of meds you take, do they work? And I said, mostly. And he said, then they don't work. If they don't work completely, then they don't work. And I had never thought of it that way before, but I agreed with him. You know, I sure would like some mental health meds that fucking worked. I'd like to be happy once in my life. So he worked with me to take care of my mental health. He was also working with me to take care of my fibromyalgia, which he believed in. What's wrong with that, you say? I had to miss an appointment or two because of these issues. Mostly the fibro. I was having terrible flare-ups, and I couldn't move. So the entire fucking network of Margaret Mary Health stopped seeing me. I received correspondence from them saying, we will no longer take you as a patient because you missed appointments. I couldn't see my doctor, who was taking care of me for the problems that were keeping me from making the appointments. They no longer wanted to help me because I couldn't fucking, you know, I couldn't walk, I couldn't move, I couldn't get out of bed because of my problems, which were the reasons I needed to see my doctor, and now they won't take me. This is why I don't trust doctors. This is why I don't trust the American medical institution. Right now, my fucking head is throbbing so hard, and it's so hard to record this, but I wanted to because it was on my mind. If you have issues with your doctors or your therapists or your hospitals, please say something. Go find yourself a doctor who gives a shit. Go find yourself a medical network who gives a shit. I still haven't yet, and I'm giving up. I am 100% giving up. I will have to pass out and be taken against my will in an ambulance before I'll be seen, because I'm not doing it on my own. I am not. If I fucking slice my hand off while cooking dinner, just let me bleed out. Turn the stove on so I can fucking burn that shit, stop the bleeding, give me some Advil. Hopefully, you know, it'll take the edge off, and that's it. I'm not going to a fucking doctor. Fuck them. They don't want to help me. I'm not going to, you know, continue to be in debt to go somewhere and not be fucking helped. It is my experience that doctors became doctors to get paid. Prove me wrong. Can you? Do you have a good doctor? God, I really hope you do. I hope you have the best doctor. I hope when you go to the doctor, you get the best care you deserve. I hope you are taken seriously. I am not. I'm never taken seriously. My pain is all in my head, apparently. It's a garbage term. I'm only looking for opioids because I'm a junkie. I don't get help, and I'm done trying to get help. If you have any horror stories about the doctors or the hospitals, send me a message. onthephonepodcast.wordpress.com. You can go there and message me there, or whatever. You can message me on Good Pods. I'm there. I'm there a lot. Check me out on Good Pods. You can see all of my current fucking shit, you know, all my podcast stuff. Go to goodpods.com, sign up for an account. It's free. You can listen to all of your favorite podcasts. You can discover podcasts. It's like a social networking site for podcasts. You can talk to all your favorite podcast people there. You can meet friends. You can do whatever you want, as long as it's, you know, not creepy and it is related to podcasting, I guess. Send me a message. Let me know. Actually, I think I have an email address. I do have. It's amazing what you discover when you actually look. I have an email. If you want to email me at any time, go ahead. It is onthephonewithmatt@gmail.com. How amazing is that? It's so freaking simple. You know, let me know if you've had your issues with doctors. I mean, I got more stories of people I know who have had issues. My sister, who recently died because of, she was 43. She had lupus and a few other issues around lupus that took her life. And she had both of her legs, before she died, she had both of her legs amputated. And she went to this hospital to get help, and the doctor walked in, took one look at her and said, "I'm not prescribing you anything. You're a junkie. Look at the track marks in your arms." She basically lived in hospitals, you know, hooked up to IVs and shit and getting medicine drips and all that. And he said, you're a junkie. I'm not prescribing anything to you. And she said, "Look at my chart." He said, "I don't have to. I know." And he didn't look at her chart. He refused her completely. And now she's dead. Who knows what could have happened if he would have helped her. That's it. Doctors, I just don't trust them. They are people too. They are not magicians. They are not fucking gods among men. They are people. And people make mistakes. And when they have egos, like that fucking guy that, you know, refused help to my sister, when they think they're better than the people they're helping, when they fucking ask you if you're in pain, what level of pain are you in, and then don't offer anything for the pain, fuck all of them. I'm done. This is On the Phone with Matt. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate you hanging around. And, you know, once again, check out the website, email me, go to Good Pods, whatever the fuck. And I will talk to you next week. Happy November. Peace.